Welcome to Right Damn It with me, Zoe Richards, your host for the podcast that's all about books, writing them, reading them, and getting our heads around getting the writing done. Episode 101, and today we're getting into the second of the series on writing neurodivergent characters. Next week we will pull together the last episode and today's episode and create the so what of our characters. But I wanted to talk today about the traits of neurodiversity. Now, I am not going into the detail and breaking down every individual type of trait related to autism, related to ADHD, sensory processing, speech language communication needs, and so on. I am simply going to give you a kind of high level set of traits, and I want to challenge your thinking to get you to go beyond the obvious of a trait of neurodiversity is to have somebody who is awkward in social situations, or a trait of neurodiversity is somebody who finds it difficult to do things in the way that society expects us to do things. Sure, you will find people who are neurodiverse who fit those traits, but there's so much more as well. So let's just stick with the kinds of traits, first of all, that are probably the ones that people tend to go for when they're looking at writing a neurodiverse character. And that tends to be the things related to sensory overload, which could be about too much noise, it could be being overwhelmed in crowds, it could be about people getting too close to them. We've also got things related to anxiety, which could manifest itself in agoraphobia. And that, by the way, could be more than not being able to leave the house. Some people with agoraphobia are able to leave the house, but only to go to places that are familiar to them, or places that they feel and know that they are very safe there. So we've got anxiety, we've got sensory overload. You also have people who will have social preferences. So they may have difficulty interacting in certain social situations. Others, they can come across as though they have got no issue at all with being in social situations. They may have ways of perceiving the environment around them as well. And you could get the situation where they are nonverbal, and you could get situations where they have real difficulty accomplishing everyday tasks, the kinds of things that we would expect anybody and everybody to be able to do, and they may have difficulty with that. Now, let's just be really clear here that we need to understand there are extreme levels of neurodevelopmental disability. So that is people who have perhaps extreme versions of autism, ADHD and sensory processing needs. It could be somebody who's FASD, which is fetal alcohol syndrome disorder. So some people will have really extreme neurodevelopmental disabilities. There are others who are still neurodiverse, but their traits are not as extreme. And that's something for you to consider when you are writing your character. If you think of it like the bell curve, you will get the majority of people who are neurodiverse who will fit more in that kind of central belt of neurodiversity. And then you will get people at either end, some who have very, very slight traits of neurodiversity, and then others who are extreme neurodevelopmental disabilities. So keep that in mind when you're developing your character. Now, I mentioned that some people could be at the extreme of the neurodiversity isn't showing up much within their traits. Keep in mind as well that that could be because they have adaptive behaviours. They've learned how to adapt to situations that they're in. They mask the traits that they have of neurodiversity. Girls and women are more likely to mask. In the past, it was believed that more boys and men were neurodiverse. And what's become apparent over the years is that it's simply that girls and women are capable of masking. So we have a mimicking kind of approach. So they then play to their strengths, and men and women will play to their strengths and use this adaptive behaviours approach. And you get more women who are more likely to use this adaptive behaviours approach. So you could have somebody who has stronger traits, but you don't notice them. And that's something that you can play around with in your character development. Okay, so what about some other traits? Well, people who are ND, neurodiverse, they're likely to be hyper-focused, but it will be hyper-focused on those things that they choose to be interested in. If they're not interested, they may appear to be completely disinterested. They may appear to be lazy. They may appear to just not get something. It's because it doesn't interest them. But make something interesting to somebody who is neurodiverse. Give them that opportunity to become interested. And if they choose to be interested, there will be this hyperfocus. They tend to have a high level of intelligence. It might not always be the intelligence that you might define as intelligence, and you might feel very uncomfortable around some levels of high levels of intelligence as well. It could be a specific type of intelligence that they have, or a specific skill. It seems as though there are an awful lot of people who are neurodiverse who are very creative, so perhaps are artists, are writers, interesting, hey, and perhaps are musicians, and all composers of music as well. And quite often you'll find that innovators, people who are at the forefront of something, the forefront of a new industry, not necessarily inventors of machinery, although you can get that too. But, you know, if you think of somebody like Richard Branson, an innovator, an innovative thinker, and he's somebody who has that specific skill within him. You get creative thinkers who are neurodiverse as well, critical thinking, and also neurodiverse people are very good problem solvers and strategists. So I'd like you to think beyond this low social interaction that everybody talks about with neurodiverse people. Think beyond the type of person who struggles to initiate a conversation. Think beyond that kind of way of approaching a neurodiverse character as being about a diagnosis. It's about traits, and traits are something that everybody has. So even if somebody in your novel is not neurodiverse, they're still going to have traits and they're going to be a complex individual. Your neurodiverse person can also be somebody who is more complex and rounded, and not only their diagnosis. And remember as well, they may not have been diagnosed with a neurodiverse, autism, ADHD, sensory processing, etc. They may never have been diagnosed, particularly if they're older, particularly if they're over 25, over 30. It's unlikely they will have a diagnosis. Okay, hopefully that's given you a good introduction to traits. But as I said at the beginning, please, if you are writing a neurodiverse character with something specific, such as autism or ADHD, go and research the full list of traits. And remember that people have that combination of traits, and they may have comorbidities, so they may have more than one diagnosis, as in they could be autistic and have sensory processing needs. Okay, I'll leave you to it for now. Hopefully that will leave you with something to think about. And then next week, we will get into thinking about how does this now help us in thinking about creating that rounded neurodivergent character that is somebody who we feel very comfortable including in our writing, and that the reader feels comfortable reading about when they themselves are neurodiverse. All right, I'll leave it to it. Happy writing. May the words flow for you. And I'll see you on the next episode.